Caregivers, have you ever felt like nothing? I mean, nothing is going right? Well, cheer up and welcome to Dave the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Program, where you'll learn how to avoid that dreaded thing called caregiver burnout and how to survive the grief process. You know, with roughly 100 million caregivers in the U.S. and Canada alone, that's about a third of the population. That means that everyone probably knows someone caring for a loved one. Join Dave and his guests now and every Wednesday at noon Pacific time as they discuss avoiding caregiver burnout and surviving grief. So find a comfortable place to relax, kick up your feet, and prepare to feel better and to receive practical tips and tools that you can start using immediately to get you through today and every day so you can survive your tomorrows. But not just survive, but to live life fully and abundantly. Yes, you heard me right. That is a possible goal to achieve. And now, here's your host, Dave Nassani.
Hey, welcome, LA. from Los Angeles, a big LA welcome to all my listeners out there in Radio Land. I'm Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver, coming to you live globally through the world-famous Blog Talk Radio Network. And we're going to help you get through this thing called caregiver burnout. That's our goal. And we have an exciting show planned for you today, or as Ed Sullivan say, a really big shoe with my, well, we don't have our lovely co-host Adrian because she came down with a headache and took a nap, and we're going to miss her. But those darn headaches, those migraines, they ought to come up with a cure for those things. Anyway, today we'll be interviewing brand new caregiver Spin Munoz. Always have trouble pronouncing that. And we'll be talking about brand caregivers today, jumping in head first and clueless. So we'll see if Steve considers himself clueless or not. So stay tuned. You do not want to miss this show. And I am your host, Dave Nassani, as I said. And this show is the caregivers of every single kind. And the one thing we know about caregivers, see, I know you get tired of me saying this, but I'm going to say it again for all the new people, is that, you know, they're caring and they're selfless, they're sacrificial, they're empathetic, sympathetic, diabetic. No, I threw that one in. They have this tiny little problem. They're very prone to burnout because they tend to put everyone else's needs above their own. And I always say, learn a lesson from the airlines, for goodness sake. Because they tell us, in the event of an emergency, put your own oxygen mask on first before you attempt to help your loved one with their mask. And why do they tell us that? Well, it sounds like the most selfish thing a parent can do. But, you know, they know from experience that if you don't put your needs above everyone else's, including your precious little loved one, you are going to burn out, buddy. And you won't be any good with anything, with anybody. So that's the story. And we also talk about grief and loss here, as well as burnout and this devastating effects it can have on us. You know, anytime anyone suffers a loss, you know, you lose your girlfriend, you just heard you have cancer, your wife served you divorce papers, you're going into bankruptcy, you name it, you're going to go into the grief process. And there is no shortcuts around the grief process. You got to go through it. Can't go around it, over it, under it. And hopefully we can help you through your grief and your loss if you feel like you're kind of stuck. And I do want to take this time and thank my last week's guest, caregiver Melissa Williams, volunteer at the Alzheimer's Caregiver Support Group. Just a reminder, you can listen to that interview, which was a great one, and all of our interviews, including this one right here on our website, caregiverscaregiver.com. And we're so excited that my new book is just getting closer and closer to release in September. September will be here before you know it, and I'll let you all know when you can begin the pre-purchase process so that you can throw me onto the New York Times bestseller list and more people can be blessed by this book. I know I'm optimistic, but you know you need to be if you're a caregiver. Anyway, it's called It's My Life Too, Reclaim Your Caregiver Sanity by Learning When to Say Yes and When to Say No. All right, enough of that. A big welcome to my guest, Steve Munoz. Welcome to the show, Steve.
Hello. Thank you, Dave.
Steve is shy. He didn't want his face on the picture, so I told him to call in. No, that's not true. He didn't have access to a laptop with a camera. So I'll describe how he looks. He's kind of a big guy, black hair, ponytail, beard, and he's married to a gorgeous woman, so there must be something good about him because, you know, what gorgeous woman would marry a guy like this? I don't know. He's got gifts, I'm telling you. And he's a caregiver to his father, and I'll let him tell that story. Steve, I like to ask people, who is Steve Munoz and why was he put on this earth? Go ahead and take a couple of minutes and play around with that one.
Well, I'm married. I've been married for 17 years. I have four kids. And I believe
that
I'm
makes
here.
You a caregiver all by itself.
It's a job all on its own. Yeah. Both of them, marriage and
your prep.
Kids.
Yeah,
definitely. But I truly feel like I've been here. Those are the biggest things in my life or my immediate family. My wife, my marriage, my kids, about 5 years ago, I left. I had a corporate job and I left to be a stay at home dad. And my wife went back to
Mr.
work.
Mr. Mom,
and,
huh?
Yeah. Hardest job ever. Hardest by far. There's nothing that I've, ever done, and I still do that now. So I'm, now not only am I a stay-at-home dad, but I'm a caregiver as well. So, I give a lot of myself, as you had said. I love to serve, and I love to give my kids and my wife, and now my dad everything that I can. I'm kind of a people pleaser. With those closest around me.
That's not a good trait when you're a caregiver, though. You need to break that habit.
No, exactly. And
in moderation, of course.
Yeah, you had mentioned earlier, about if I felt that, if I was thrown out there without, knowing much, and that's exactly how it is, how it's been for me, so. Kind of everything's new. The condition, my dad, he's got dementia. I just found out in March. I found out he was living about 3.5 hour drive from me. I hadn't seen him in about 4 years.
Is he your father or stepfather or what?
This is my biological father, who ultimately left my mom and my family when I was about 9 months of age.
Wow.
So I have no recollection of ever living with him in my life, but as adults and in our relationship with God, and we became close mostly by phone. He would come down and visit me and my kids, and but he lived up on the mountain, so it was kind of, I hadn't seen him, like I said, in about 4 years, and we used to call and we used to talk for hours. I mean, he was the guy,
really?
my go-to guy on my long drive, traffic, LA traffic, all that good stuff. And we had a good relationship, but it kind of, the phone calls got fewer and fewer. He wasn't returning my calls or texts, and I knew something was up, and I've known for a while that he might be going down that Alzheimer's road, just because he was forgetful. My wife and I have always felt that, he should come stay with us, but we didn't have the place, the size, anything, and it was kind of just something that we just felt we can help. But when I found out in March, he actually told me, and I could remember thinking like, wow, he knows, like, that's great. But he doesn't really know what exactly it is. He doesn't, he doesn't know what's happening to him, on a daily basis. He doesn't know why he can't. He doesn't know where his room is, or he doesn't know where the restroom is, or he doesn't, basic, simple things, And then we just recently moved into a place because we lived upstairs, and the stairs were getting really hard for him, and we were just
in an apartment.
Yeah, we were in an apartment,
how many bedrooms?
Because it was only two bedrooms. It was a
wow.
big two bedrooms, and it was weird. So
the optimistic caregiver. It was a big two bedrooms.
my kids had this is how it was. My kids had my older boys had a room, and my two younger kids had a room, and my wife and I had the living room. So we didn't have like a living room per se. You know, we weren't really home a lot either. But once he came aboard, well, which is weird. The whole story of him coming on board was I found out he had dementia. I went out to see him the next week or two, you know, made the 3.5 hour drive to Big Bear and I just, saw him. He couldn't care for himself anymore. He was renting a room from somebody, and basically the person he was renting a room for was like, you need to do something about this guy. Like, he didn't want to care for him. He didn't, you know,
wasn't, you know, family or anything.
No, he's just a friend of a friend, pretty much. And they had a relationship as far as, you know, friendship. And this guy was good in the sense of he was taking him to the doctors, and he was like, you know, helping him get his prescriptions and, you know, helping him pay his bills. But, you know, he wasn't helping him take a shower, or he wasn't helping him, you know, do things like the normal day-to-day type stuff.
And important just, stuff.
Yeah, you know, when I had one up there finally to visit him, you know, he hadn't showered in 2 weeks. He had this really nasty infection in his toe.
That's kind of how they take care of you in a bad nursing home. Unfortunately, you know, you gotta stay away from those
like,
places.
He was getting fed. He was, you know, but, you know, that's basically the extent of it. I mean, he was taken to the doctors. He was getting fed. He was, you know, help with, you know, getting. But it was just becoming too much for the roommate. And so when I went to see him, he had, like I said, there was this infection in his toe. He wasn't taking antibiotics. He's diabetic. He ultimately, 2 weeks after that, he lost his toe. And when he was in that hospital, that's when he came home with me. And he's been with me since. And it'll be about 4 months. It'll be about 4 months pretty soon that he's been with the family here. And you
tell
know,
me about your family. How old are the kids? And
I have a 17-year-old boy, 15-year-old boy. I have a 8-year-old, she'll be 9-year-old girl, and a 7-year-old boy. So I have 4 kids. And
how did they respond to the change in lifestyle, etc.?
You know, they initially, they know that I'm a type of person that would help somebody in need, you know, and this being my dad, and they've met him and had a relationship with him in like the past. But my little ones didn't really remember him too much, because, you know, I hadn't seen him in 3 years, but they knew he was my dad. They initially were kind of, they were, you know, all gung ho, like, yeah, let's do it. And I explained it to him, you know, but, you know, just like I was very gung ho at the beginning, like, let's just, you know, you're going to come live with me, and I'm going to take care of you, and you're going to just be a part of my family, you know, and it's going to be great. And, you know, when you get him home and you realize that, hey, like, we can't really go to the beach, or we can't really go to the mall, or things are just harder. Or kind of, and then my kids were in this, I put all 4 of my kids into 1 bedroom, which wasn't ideal for anybody, but, you know, so my dad can have his own space. And we did that for about, you know, like I said, we just moved last week. So we ended up doing that for about 3 months, and that wasn't fun for them. But now that they got the new place, we're getting adjusted. But, you know, they all take time, you know, to kind of connect with him and, you know, talk to him for a second. Even though, you know, a lot of times he doesn't know which one of my older boys is which, even though they look nothing alike, you know. But
I don't even know which one of my older girls are their names. It's just that comes with parenting.
Well, he's got an excuse, though. No, but I think the whole
Thanks a lot.
reality the whole reality of it is that it's a lot more than I had anticipated. And I remember talking to you before I even brought him in, and you had told me, like, I don't think that you know what this all entails. But I know that anything is possible, and I know that I can do this. I know I can. I mean, I do it every day, and I'm getting better at it every day. But there's so much. I'm like the first, I would say, 3 weeks, I don't think I slept at all. I mean, because I would just watch him. I would just study him and watch what he would do, because he was up all night, and I was trying to figure out how do I get him not to pee in a corner of the room, or how do I get him to not know. And I figured out ways to, we don't have these type of accidents anymore. We don't have things like this. But just by like studying him and just watching him and just things that help him, cope with day-to-day life. And I was just talking to somebody yesterday. We just moved, and we lived upstairs, and it was just so hard on my body just moving. And I was so sore. And then I look at my dad, as he has no clue in this new house how hard it is for him just to adjust, just to a new environment. We pulled up today. We pulled up today from the doctor's, and he's like, "Who lives here? Like, where are we?" And I'm like, "This is our new place." And he was like, "Oh, like he just, and he's been here every day, but it's nice. We have a yard. We can walk outside. There's no more steps, which praise God."
Oh,
And
how much
it's
bigger?
great. It's a lot bigger. We have basically like 5 rooms, four and a half rooms, like a loft, and he has a room. My older boy, I mean, it's still, the kids still share rooms because they're kind of in groups. Like my two older boys have always shared a room, and my two little ones have always shared a room, and they're 2 years in age, so they're both really
Yeah.
close. But all my kids are really close.
Well, listen, I want to talk more about, the move and how you did it, the financial assistance, et cetera. But we only need to take a short break. And so don't go away. We'll be right back.
One arm, one leg, 100 words. Overcoming unbelievable hardships is about Charlene, a stroke survivor. Back in 1996, Charlene was a healthy, normal, very active 52-year-old woman whose amazing talents resemble that of both a Martha Stewart and a Wonder Woman. But all that changed when she suffered a massive stroke that left her severely speech impaired and paralyzed on the right side. Who am I? My name is David. I've had the privilege of being Charlene's husband since 1975. We had a wonderful, fairy tale, storybook-like courtship that culminated in our marriage a year later. Charlene had just come out of a marriage where, after 10 years, she received two black eyes and a broken nose by her former husband when he came home high on speed. Charlene believed in no second chances of any kind for abuse, so she left. Finding herself all alone in the world with her 5 and 10-year-old daughters, Cynthia Lorraine and Deborah Lynn, she started raising them by herself for the next 2 years. Then fate brought us all together. After falling in love with Charlene, Cindy, and Debbie, our love then produced Rebecca Elizabeth. We had a wonderful, normal life for the next 20 years. But today, things are very different for everyone. One arm, one leg, 100 words, overcoming unbelievable hardships is the amazing story of a woman's fight to survive all that life had thrown her way. Everyone who knows Charlene is thoroughly amazed at how she lives day by day, month by month, year by year, and with a smile on her face and hope in her heart that everything is going to be okay. Her faith in God is her foundation in this hope, that everything happens for a reason, and what doesn't kill her will make her stronger. She inspires everyone who meets her. Her accomplishments since her stroke are very impressive, often making us normal people look like whiners and complainers. So pick up your copy of One Arm, One Leg, 100 Words, Overcoming Unbelievable Hardships today. You won't be disappointed. Just hear what best-selling author Lynn Barrington has to say about it. If you think you have it bad, read this book. This is a beautiful, genuine story told from the heart. It's inspiring and easy to read. When you finish this book, you'll be able to look at your concerns in a new light. How about the reaction of 9-time Grammy and Dove Award recipient, the godfather of contemporary gospel Christian music, Andre Crouch? Charlene just won't let the promises of God go, and she has not let her circumstances get in the way of her faith. She's not just a survivor, she's more than a conqueror, as the Bible states. You'll be encouraged by her testimony, regardless of what you're going through. Available everywhere, but if you purchase your copy directly from the author's website, onearmoneleg100words.com, Charlene and David will personally autograph your copy. Enjoy!
And we're back with Steve Munoz and me, Dave Nassani. We're missing Adrian. She's got a migraine. So, Steve, I want to ask you a few things. Are you still there? Are you unmuted?
Yes.
Oh, good.
Yes, I'm here.
You know, just watching that that commercial of my wife, I'm always reminded how amazing she is. And people always come to me, oh, you're amazing, you're amazing. You know, and I don't feel so amazing. I'm just doing what, you know, I have to do. You know, it's the new normal, and I don't feel like I deserve any pats on the back. Do people come up to you and tell you, like, how wonderful you are and how they couldn't do what you're doing and all that stuff?
Yeah, I've had all kinds of different emotions, you know, different responses, you know, from family. I've been outcasted. I've been, people kind of keep their distance. And then you get those people that are just like, really love, you know, the act of love, you know, that because that's ultimately what it is. You know, I could have been like everybody else, you know, that just kind of just like, oh, you know, like everybody found out I shared his condition. And nobody really would have done this. And his options weren't to be in a home. He doesn't have the means. He didn't have the insurance provisions and things like that. But yeah, people always tell me, "Oh, you're an angel. You're so selfless, or you're so not." And
you definitely have the caregiver heart.
You know, and I don't know. I guess I just can't think of it like that. You know, I feel like this is what God wants for me right now. And, you know, being in this position has really put perspective back into my life. You know, we can complain about, you know, our finances or our job or whatever it may be. And you know, I look at my dad and I see him struggle just to know how to get to his room, you know, and it's a real struggle that he fights with this condition every day. He fights remembering who he is, or, you know, he has thoughts in his mind that, you know, it haunt him, and I could see it haunts him, and it, you know, he's just dealing with it, you know, but my job is to give him joy and peace, to make him feel loved every day, to make him feel like he's alive, you know, and that he's special. And I think that
with dementia, and Alzheimer's, you have to look for those moments, because that's all you have is it's just a moment, you know. You might share a joke or a memory, and you know, for about 60 seconds, you know, it's you and him, the real him, and then it's gone, and the moment's gone.
Yeah.
And just appreciate and be thankful for those little moments, because you never know when they're going to come, how long they're going to last, if they're going to come.
It really blows me away, because when I first brought him home, he really didn't remember anything. And I'm not saying he's like, you know, quoting scripture or anything like that, but he's, you know, he remembers, you know, the 4th of July. He remembers going to watch fireworks. He, you know, because he hadn't seen fireworks in like 10 years. He remembers my kids. He remembers the first movies that they watched together. He remembers things that, you know, and a lot has to do with my kids. The memories, you know, we did finally go to the beach, and he was like, he spent the day there and was just, he remembers that. Or he remembers funny things, or he remembers things that have to do with just being a part of life, like just, you know, being a part, or a birthday, or having lunch with my brothers, or when my brothers came to see me, or whatever it may be. He remembers those things. And I refresh his memory on a lot of them too. And he doesn't remember the details of them, or he might have his own details, but to see those things in him when he didn't have those memories, like they're new memories for him. And when we listen to music, a lot of the music that we listen to are music from his childhood, that his dad listened to, like, Frank Sinatra's and, things where I'm actually benefiting from it because I'm getting some culture, some old jazz and things I didn't listen to. I grew up in the 90s, so it was like I wasn't listening to Frank Sinatra's. When I thought of old music, it was like Motown, R&B or something. That's about as far back as it went. 60s and 70s, but when you start going back, and it's great music, it's great. He's got great stuff. He's got great taste. And, we can sit there and just listen to just music for hours and talk about music and songs and it'll key a memory in the song. So I've been creating this playlist of just songs that he likes. So when we go somewhere, I could go on a ride, I just play his music and he engages, it really, I can see him, start tapping his foot or, put a smile, and it's just.
Well, you're doing all the right stuff, you're stimulating his memory. Music is the best way to do that. I mean, I'm amazed a song come on the radio that I hadn't heard in 40 or 50 years. And all of a sudden I know every single word and I'm there. I know what was going on around me. And I can't remember what I had for breakfast. So, this brain is just an amazing.
That's amazing. It is amazing. And I thought I've been very blessed along the way, from when he was in the hospital from the very beginning. His nurse, her mom was had a dementia. And hospitals, by the way, are no place for a person with dementia. He thought he was like in an asylum. And he was admitted, and he was like, because, people were just like poking him and putting him, he needs rest. Yeah. He gets tired. And it just does not. Sure. And that really scared me because that was my first look at it. I was on my own. I wasn't ready. I wasn't planning on him coming with me, but there it was, it happened. But, I've had a lot of people, including yourself, friends, that were longtime caregivers. I know people that have worked in, I've met people that have worked in assisted living facilities. And I mean, it's like you start learning tricks from them. And then, like things that I've done on my own with my own studying and my own observations. I mean, I'm just, because like I said, I want to make his days, I don't know how many he's got, it seems to be pretty progressive.
Yeah. Quality of life. That's what it's all about.
Yeah. And
not quantity.
But like I said, it puts that perspective back, I was just thinking about, when I heard that commercial about Charlene and then you asked me that question, if people ask me that, I know Charlene and spent time with her and she amazes me. And I had spent time with her before I had my dad, over Christmas and whatnot. And I was trying to do the light thing for her. And it was
put up our Christmas lights and took them down.
And it was so worth it too, because she loved it. She loved it. And
wouldn't even take any money.
No, I didn't. It's her thanks. But,
It really meant a lot to her. It really did.
Yeah, and that's you couldn't pay me that enough for that to see that smile or for her gratefulness, but how meticulous she is and her not being able to speak and I was like really like trying to be patient and I was like, man, but the whole time I was just amazed by her just determination. How she was. It just amazes me how her mind works, how strong, and it almost prepared me in a way. Like even though the circumstance is different, just like I feel like parenting, and having four kids, and having to change diapers. Well, guess what, my dad
everything prepared
wear the diaper. Even though now I figure out ways to make sure we don't have any accidents, which which when he was living up on the hill on the mountain, he was peeing in the corner of his room or trying to pee out a window, or he didn't know because he couldn't find the restroom and he just had to go so bad. And but I haven't had an accident in you know, 2-3 months, you know, praise God for that. But it's just learning and studying, you know, how I can help this guy. And you know, the things that he really loves, like he loves to get clean shaven. He loves it. So it's like when I shave him and trim it, I mean, he feels like a new man. You know, he feels sharp again. He feels alive. And, you know, and when I see those glimpses and I see those things, I mean, they're priceless for me. You know, they're priceless. And, you know, but, you know, it's, you know, it's go ahead.
It reminds me, I'm sorry to interrupt. It reminds me of, you know, God just gives us custom-made trials, you know. Charlene and your father have a lot in common. In fact, you know, we all have a lot in common. Everyone is going through something. You know, Charlene can't talk. She's paralyzed on her right side. Your father can't comprehend things. He can't remember things. You know, it's almost like God gives us tailor-made trials to get through. And many times the trials are for us, you know. It's like my trial. It's your trial. And we'll never know why, you know, good people suffer or bad things happen to good people until we get to heaven. But, you know, life is pretty amazing. And I guarantee you one thing, that, you know, we're all striving for perfection in this job. I mean, I'm amazed at just the things you're telling me and how it's changed you and how your heart is. I mean, you're much nicer than me.
And, you know, the other day he kind of, you know, he gets tired, you know, he can get pretty snappy, not aggressive. You know, there was one time when he did, and I kind of just stood firm, you know, and whatnot, but he gets kind of snappy when he's tired, and it's only with me. It's not with anybody else, not ever with the kids, not with my wife.
Familiarity
like
breeds contempt, they say.
Yeah, and I mean, we're with each other all day, every day, pretty much, you know. Well, now
honeymoon's over.
I've really tried to now, you know, once he goes to bed or in the morning is when, you know, I'll go to the gym or I'll go to work for a couple hours here or there, and I'll try to, you know, get my me time back, you know, but I had to do that. I wasn't doing that. You know,
is that
but
helping?
Now we start, it does, it helps tremendously. I mean, it really relieves that stress, you know, and a
lets
lot
you
of
feel
times,
normal
you
know, again.
It really does. It really does. Especially the gym. The gym for me, you know, to go and sit in the jacuzzi, even sometimes I'll just go sit in the sauna or jacuzzi and not even work out, just kind of clear my mind and just kind of be, you know, at peace and you know, but I just try to take it day by day too, you know, not try to overwhelm myself and 'cause that's what you want to do, you know, you want to just, how can I fix it? And, you know, and people that have no idea, like say with my wife, she'll be like, well, we can go here. Let's go to the city walk. And I'm like thinking like, we can't, like that's, I mean, it's hard. Or like my brother would say, hey, let's go to dinner. And I'm thinking, how about lunch? And, you know, let's, you know, or something, because certain things just aren't the same. You know, he can, you know, he can go to dinner. Yeah, you're right. But he's got to make, I have to make sure he has a nap, or, you know, he might be fine at dinner. But, you know, once we get home, you know, my thing was with the stairs, living with stairs, him going up those stairs, you know, I'd put a gate belt on him, and I, you know, at times I would think I'm going to have to carry him because he would just stop. He couldn't do it. And those things, you know, people, they think, you know, that there's an answer, but even like in other cases of people with dementia, they're all different. And
this is like,
you know,
deja vu. I mean, you're describing when my kids were two, you know, all of that. It's like they go back to that.
Yeah, it is. It is. But, you know, I had to, like I was saying, that he kind of lashed out at me the other day, and I just kind of looked at him and I just said, you know, I'm sorry, Dad, but, you know, I go, I'm just trying to help you if you need help. And I just kind of let him, you know, wander his way because he didn't want to be bothered. And, And then, after he realized that he could do it, he looks at me and he's like, I don't know what I'm doing. And I'm like, okay, come on. And I just, but it like, it hurts me to see him struggle like that, because I just want to help him. I just want to do it for him. But he still wants to do certain things. And I let him. I let him do what he can, and then I'll be like, do this. But I'll show him,
Sorry.
I'll show, like going to his room, you would think, oh, how do you not get that? It's just one hallway or whatever. But, but now, especially in a new place, I walk him every time. I walk him every time instead of, all right, yeah, all right, go to the room, or I have to take the actual time to do it, and at the same time, I have to remind myself, of what he goes through. I've watched documentaries and I've read books, and you start to soak yourself up with all this knowledge of a thing that I had no idea of, and everybody has, there's all these experts and opinions and things that you should do and tricks, but there's things that actually work for him, that work for people that don't work for him, and vice versa.
Yeah.
Like say tonight we have a men's group we go to, I cannot mention the men's group until it's time to go. Like if I mentioned it the day before, if I mentioned it that morning, he will not rest until it's time to go. And then right before it's time to go, he's too tired to go and he falls asleep. So I can't mention it. And I've learned things.
Just
so
like
now,
kids.
Yeah. And so now we'll be sitting there and we'll be listening to music or watching TV, and I'll fake sleeping. I'll pretend to go to sleep. And so it makes him tired and he'll want to take a nap. So I kind of pull one over on him, but it works. He goes and he lays down, and then I wake him up when it's time to go. Because the event is at 7 o'clock at night, so he needs that nap. He definitely needs it, and it's better for him.
You're pretty smart, Steve. You're a smart cookie.
Listen,
we're gonna take
that.
Another break. I got more to ask you, but we got to take this break first. So don't go away.
No problem.
Anytime we suffer loss, we grieve. And a lot of people don't realize what even the grief process is. But it could be 5 to 7 steps, ranging from denial, I don't believe this is happening, anger, oh my gosh, I'm so upset this is happening, to a form of bargaining, how can I get out of this, to depression, which is a very serious thing because that often leads to suicide. And then finally, after you realize you have no more control over your situation and you're totally okay with the new normal that it brings, that wonderful, wonderful place called acceptance.
Being a caregiver takes a special person with passion and compassion. But even you can become a little burned out from time to time. The Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show was developed to help you overcome obstacles, adversity, and burnout, as well as just having a place to rest, relax, and recharge your batteries. We've all been there, and you're not alone. Now, you can take the Caregiver's Caregiver with you. Get the top 25 radio shows in convenient form that plugs right into your USB car stereo or computer. Learn the techniques, tips, and encouragement we all need to better handle the day-to-day challenges. For around $1 per show, just $29.77, get the credit card-sized USB card to have with you anytime you need a caregiver's pick-me-up. Just go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com and order yours today. Go to DaveTheCaregiversCaregiver.com now. Consider it an investment in you, and ultimately, an investment in them.
And we're back with Steve Munoz and your host, me, Dave Nassani. And you still there, Steve?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I love when they're still there. You know, you talked about dementia patients being in hospitals. I don't know if you're aware of it or not, but there I met, you know, I spoke at Harvard recently, and I met a guy who is actually building a dementia and Alzheimer's community. You know, in Holland, they actually have one where they don't have to lock people up. The whole city or the whole town was built with dementia people in mind, and that's who live there, people with dementia. And, you know, they can come and go as they please because it's all been safe. The streets are safe. The buildings are safe. You know, they can't get any trouble. They're constantly patrolled. You know, there's video. There's you know, caregivers and medical personnel, et cetera. And it's just an amazing, almost like fantasy land of Disneyland, you know, Alzheimer's land. And so this guy is building it in this country. Apparently he's very rich and he's doing it. And so, God, wouldn't we love to put our loved one with Alzheimer's or dementia in a community like that? I'm dealing with this now. Charlene's mother has, she doesn't know she does, but she has a form of dementia. She thinks I'm trying to murder her and steal her house, and I'm in cahoots with the caregiver. And, you know, she had to finally be removed from her house. Well, we convinced her, or the police came, you know, and convinced her that it wasn't safe for her to stay in her house anymore since, you know, I'm trying to murder her. So let's take you to the hospital and see if we drugged you and we'll get you all straightened up. You know, you just say and do whatever you have to say and do to get them in a safe environment, because she just can't live alone by herself. And even though I went up there to put video cameras, I'm like 2.5 hours away, and her son is like in Minnesota, and she just has a caregiver that comes. She had a live-in caregiver, but you know, she kept calling the cops on her, accusing her of stealing all her stuff. They get paranoid, they get delusional. So enjoy, you know, there's different stages of dementia. So just enjoy whatever stage you're in. And so that's what I wanted to say about the dementia community.
That sounds amazing. I'm sure even if you couldn't get in there, just some of the ideas they have would be beneficial, you know.
Yeah, like if you were a single person, you had no family or whatever, you know, you can probably make the home, you know, safe so that they have a little more freedom or whatever. But anyway, we're just thinking out of the box now. Why don't you take the last 10 minutes or so, because time is flying, and share, you know, some of the great things you said that you learned. You know, you're becoming a real expert at this by listening to people and watching documentaries, et cetera. Why don't you just start, sit down in your wise old chair and tell some of these people who are dealing with this, because the name of the show is Brand New Caregivers Jumping In With Both Feet Clueless. I mean, were you clueless? Sounds like it.
Definitely. Definitely. I had no idea of what it was. I didn't think, you know, I thought Alzheimer's, and I thought, oh, you know, so you forget your name and birthdays and, you know, things like that. But, you know, he's in the stages where, you know, he can remember his birthday. But not always, but there's times when he doesn't. But, you know, I was definitely had no idea that how it affects your motor skills, you know, and then, you know, watching some documentaries on it and whatnot, you know, and you start to see, you know, what the end game is for different people. It's completely different, and it's really scary. It terrifies me, you know, but I'm not there yet. Like you just said, you know, I'm enjoying where I'm at right now. And it doesn't always get there, you know, but when you see in some cases where it actually gets to the point where they can't feed themselves, or they can't walk anymore because they've forgotten how.
The difference between night and day, a.m., p.m. Yeah, they don't know if they're supposed to sleep. My mother couldn't figure out, the sun is out. Am I supposed to sleep now, or am I supposed to be up? Or I get these calls in the middle of the night, you know. It's dark outside. Should I be up, or should I be sleeping?
Yeah, he has no... Right now, he has no concept of time, day or night. Like on, what was it, Sunday here, I had some people over for my son, like just my mom came over. It was my son's birthday, and she had asked him if, hey, did you go to church today? And he said, and this is at 2 in the afternoon, and we went to church at, 11 or 10, and he had told her, yeah, we went yesterday. Like, he thought a whole day had passed, because he took like a 20-minute nap. And, and I had to run like, no, Dad, that was just morning. And he kind of was like, it really threw him off, like he didn't realize that. But, yeah. he does good in public settings. Like, for the most part, I've had him in men's group, and people were like, oh, he doesn't seem that bad. I'm like, oh, he's not. When you're engaging with him, he's okay. It's just, but I had no clue of, like I said, the certain things, like I was like, oh, we're going to go, we have season passes to like Magic Mountain and Hurricane Harbor here. I'm like, oh yeah, you'll go and we'll get your pass. That's pretty much an impossible thing to do. It's because, he can't, I can't, I have him and my kids, so it's kind of like, I used to take my kids because my wife was working and, I'd be able to just watch them. But now that and going on rides with them or do things, I can't do that anymore because he can't go on a ride or he can't really do any of those. So it changes things, I didn't expect any of that, and it really kind of changed it for me. And I realized, like, wow, this is really serious. And like I said, you really start looking at what it's doing to his brain on a daily basis and how you have to kind of reprogram it. Like, yeah, you can teach him how to do things still. He can still learn things and remember things, but it's just like teaching a kid, math or how to write. Like, you have to put
how to
it
tie your shoes.
Like, every single day you have to do that. And, it's like, it's very, for me, it was kind of the hardest thing, I think, is to see him go through it, to see him, deteriorate and just see that. And it's hard, but, he's not gone, and as long as he's here, I'm going to love him. I'm going to love him unconditionally. And my family is the same way. My wife, like I said, it puts perspective back into our lives. And I've been able to show my kids do this, like, look, I can have.
Yeah, when I'm this old and my brain is like this, you're going to take care of me, right?
Well, I hope that, I don't
you're
know.
Modeling.
I,
you're modeling.
I
you
just,
know?
If it's a necessity, I'm like, that's what you do. But unfortunately, not everybody thinks like I think. Like, not everybody feels like that. Obviously there's been family that has just really, like, you shouldn't be doing this, and this is dumb, and it's,
right.
You're going to affect your family, and you're going to tear, I've heard all kinds of different things.
In every family, Steve, there is one person who always rises to the occasion. For whatever reason, they have the caregiver heart, and the rest of the siblings are either, well, I'm glad it's you, or, hey, if you need any help, let me know, or whatever. But there's always
mom,
one
mom,
that it's just a natural fit,
My mom, it's been really hard, too, because this is my biological father, and my mom has been remarried and been with the same guy for, like, 38 years, and I'm 40. So he raised me as long as I can remember. He's been my dad. Like, he's my stepdad, but he's been my dad. So I remember, like, in the first couple of weeks, the first week or two, thinking, what did I get myself into? Like, and literally
buyer's remorse, they call it,
on my knees crying, because I would have so much rather been my stepdad than my dad. I hate to say that, but that's how I felt. And I really didn't know what I was doing. But you know, in a sense, but a big part of me, I mean, I love my dad. As you became an adult, you know, but it would have been easier if it were, you know, my mom or, you know, so, you know, it would have been different, but, you know, especially because he wasn't the greatest dad when I was young. You know, we didn't even have a relationship probably till I was an adult and 18. I'm not going to actually go and see him. But nothing.
Listen, I've got to interrupt you because we're just running out of time. We had literally three minutes left. I want you to talk about the program that you're on in California. What do you call it?
IHSS.
IHSS. And they're actually paying you up to how many hours a week?
It could be up to 64 hours a week.
Yeah, I've been telling a lot of people online about this, and many of them are saying, "Oh, that's impossible." Oh, you know, but I pull up the website and I send it to them. I says, "No, this is happening. A lot of people. This is like the best kept secret." Medi-Cal, right? Medicaid.
He has to have Medicare, Medi-Cal, like, you know, but he has to have beyond Medi-Cal. And this can be approved for moms, and that's who told me about it. It's a couple that has a special needs son that they could get paid. They basically get paid to watch their own child.
Yeah, that's a blessing. And I mean, that's one of the things that caused you to move into a larger place, right?
Right. It was, because if not, you know, I had to leave my job. I had to make, you know, things like that. So but, you know, it's a process. You know, they come, they inspect your place and they make sure he's fit. You know, obviously he can't really do anything on his own. You know, so.
And California and Massachusetts, I did some research, are the two highest paid states in the whole union. And coincidentally, someone from Massachusetts was asking me about it.
Yeah, and you don't have to, you know, you don't have to. Some people that I know, like the family that I know that gets paid for their child, they only get 40 hours a week. But, you know, which is, even though there's this 24-hour care, but they don't consider because he sleeps through the night. You know, my dad does not sleep through the night. He's up. Right. He can be up. Any time of the day, he has no idea.
One day you decide, you know, you want to go on a family outing and you want someone to watch him, like you can call Visiting Angels and use the money pay for respite.
You can take that 64 hours, or like for me, I don't do the whole 64 hours, which I can outsource like 8 hours a week, so I can schedule a caregiver to come and take him for a walk or. You know, or bathe him if you needed that, or, you know, whatever you need, really, they'd come and they'll do it. But one of the things that I want to do for was for family functions, that were long drives or, you know, because he's not really into going to like the kid's birthday party, you know what I mean? That just the commotion, and it's just not, he likes to go and eat. He still loves food. So that would be the extent of it. But after that, he's ready to go. Like, he doesn't want to be there anymore. And you know, so those types of things. And, you know, I really haven't really tried a whole lot, you know, because it's still pretty new to me of, you know, the type of caregiver that.
Well, you're learning, and I think you're going to keep learning, and we'll have you back another time, find out how much more you learn. But just what we've shared is going to change some people's lives. So thank you so much for that. And just if somebody wants to ask you some questions, email or phone number, I mean, how do you want them to communicate with you?
You can email me, smunoz43@hotmail.com.
Spell it?
Yeah, definitely.
Steve, they know how to spell that. Munoz, how do you spell that?
M-U-N-O-Z.
At hotmail.com, is that what you said?
Yeah, smunoz43.
Oh, smunoz.
At hotmail. Yeah, but it's been an honor to be here to talk.
Well, yeah, thank you for coming in. We had a guest and they canceled at the last minute, and I just I wasn't going to do a show today, and then I saw you and I says, you know what, great show, and you reluctantly agreed. But thank you.
I owe a lot. Your book has helped me. It really has put things in line for me. It's helped me a lot. So I recommend that book to caregivers and.
Which one?
Knowing you, the new one.
Oh, I gave you a secret copy. You're probably the only one in the world who's allowed to read that.
Yeah.
Glad you're enjoying it. So,
yeah,
it's all
great,
right, we're going to go over time. Give a quick review of the book. Why should people buy it, and what's the benefit?
I definitely, because it's for you. If you're a caregiver, it's designed for you to help you.
You, the
get
caregiver.
Through each day. Yeah, for the caregiver.
Yeah.
You know, I never even thought of myself as one, but then I started reading. I'm like, man, this is exactly what I needed. So, it helps. It helps you on a daily.
Some people got upset because the picture on the cover is me in Hawaii having a great old time, you know, sailing a boat. Some people just gave me attitudes. Well, that's really nice how you can go, you know, but I'm here 24/7 and da 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 da. But you know, like there are so many things that they can do. You know, they just have, and I want to be sensitive because not everybody, is in this camp. But if you have a negative, you know, and you're burned out, it's hard to see opportunities to make things better. And if you didn't find out about this financial thing, you might be fried to a crisp by now, burnt out. You know, so. So buy the book. Lots of great ideas
right.
in there.
You know how you have to make time for yourself. You absolutely do. You really do. Even
absolutely.
If it's like for me, just to take a 10-minute walk and breathe. You know, and my wife's great at allowing me that. I've expressed it to her, and you know, we work around it. So, but I appreciate you having me on, Dave. I really enjoyed it.
Thank you. Sorry we went over, everybody, but I think it was worth the time. And thank you so much, Steve, and we appreciate it. And we'll see you next Wednesday at noon. God bless you. Bye-bye.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you for joining Dave, the Caregiver's Caregiver Radio Show. Make sure you tune in every Wednesday at noon Pacific Time, and anytime afterwards on podcast, to catch more of Dave and his tips to caregivers on avoiding burnout and surviving the grief process right here on the Worldwide Block Talk Radio Network. Goodbye.